Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Thursday, May the 20th. 2021, 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. Don't forget today we have the Glenn Coble on the air program. Following this program today from 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Swap Shop from 12:10 p.m. till 1 p.m. today. And apparently Swap Shop has been picking up, so we're all happy to hear that. And then we have the Adam the Computer Guy show today from 2:10 until 3 p.m. right here on this station. So we hope you listen today. Now tomorrow morning, I'll be on from 8:10 until 1 p.m. Pastor Whitaker, Pastor Steve Whitaker, will be on with the pastor spot from 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. And then we'll have the Friday night program with Angie Evers tomorrow, 8:10 until 10 p.m. on Friday night. Now it's going to be interesting because since the front porch here was finished, I guess last week, the idea has been to do a program out on the porch, and we're going to try to negotiate that maybe tomorrow. Who knows? We don't have a whole lot of guest plan tomorrow, so maybe we'll end up doing a program out on the porch tomorrow if we can get everything lined up. A couple problems with this will be taking phone calls, because obviously the phone and the interface that puts the callers up on the air is in the studio. So if I'm sitting outside, it's going to be difficult to navigate taking a phone call. Also, the other obstacle in this, we can get the microphones out front. We just put extenders on the cord. But the other issue is going to be the sound quality, because obviously we'll be sitting on the porch and you'll hear everything coming down South Prospect Street. Not to mention the fact I'll probably have to have a guest, because if I can't take phone calls, then you're going to have a guest out on the porch. So, but I think we can navigate it. I think we can navigate it if we work hard enough here, and there probably is a way that we would be able to take phone calls. It's just going to take some creativity to do that, but I do have an idea of a way that we would be able to take phone calls as the morning would be progressing. So, that is where we are here this morning. Now, very, very interesting. I have complained about the atomic clock in the studio for, you know, forever. And we've had the same atomic clock since we started 7 years ago. 7 years ago on June the 10th, we've been around. And this atomic clock does not work. And in the last few mornings, I haven't even mentioned it because it's such a mess. Right now, it's reading 2:55 a.m. on January 8th, 2021. So, you know, the atomic clock has seen better days. Well, that being said, on Sunday mornings, we recently started a program. I think it's been about a month now. Study His Word with... hold on. We're getting a call here. We'll come back to this, because this is something very important that I definitely want to talk about. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I'm sorry if I interrupted anything on your show. I know you've got topic times that you do that, but if you are on a different topic, that's okay, but I just wanted to butt in a few minutes to tell you some very important news.
Oh, go ahead.
Why, you know the number that you have for the lottery? I've had it for ever since I've heard it over your station there, and I thought, you know, I'm going to enter myself, because you can't complain that you didn't win. You got to be entered to win. So I did, and I got a woman, and I said, she said, hey, we're having a little trouble breaking up and stuff on our line. I said, that's good. I'm used to that. No offense. And I said, where are you calling from, ma'am? She said, I'm in the southeastern quadrant of Ohio. Oh, I said down around Meigs County. I said I had a home away from home down there, my wife and I. And I said, familiar. I said, do you remember State Route 124? Oh, my goodness, is that where you was down in there? Oh, she said, that's just beautiful. I said, anyhow, I just thought if we get cut off that I can get back with you. And she said, well, you hold on. And she said, it may break in and out, but we'll get you. So she's done a wonderful job, and she was doing all the questions. And I didn't have the guts to ask her any after she got done. But I said, hey, I said, my wife's right here. How about registering her without having to call and be on the waiting line? And Scott, it wasn't very long waiting. So I tell everybody it was very easy, and she done a wonderful job on it. And they got people all over taking those. But so I entered, and then Daryl entered, and so we're both... for Marion, if nobody else entered, buddy, we're in the lottery.
You're in, and you got in quick.
Yeah, and there was an array of questions, nothing any more personal than, you know, it was no, nothing that hackers could get in, you know, Social Security numbers or the last four digits or nothing, and it worked out fine, and I was proud to get it. But I was wondering, Scott, what do you think? Do you think that those people that's doing this are volunteers, or they're getting paid for that, or what? If they are, they're really doing an excellent job on the volunteer work.
You know, I was wondering about that the other day, but I'll tell you, the number itself, and again, I'll give it here, it's 1-833-4-ASK-ODH. Now, ODH, I've been trying to figure out what that stands for, and I think it's the Ohio Department of Health.
I'd say so.
Yeah, so my guess is these are probably people who, on a normal basis, work for the Ohio Department of Health. Now a lot of those people are volunteers, but I would guess they're employees of the Ohio Department of Health. That's just my guess.
Well, you could tell they was used to working with other people, and they didn't care where you come from, what it was, or this or that. She was very polite, and she... tolerated me. Now, when you tolerate me, you got to be exceptionally nice, you know, that they'd say, hey, get out of here, you know, leave me alone. But done an excellent job, Scott. And that Tracy that you talked to, I think I mentioned it, but I forgot. Doesn't she do an excellent job? She's got her homework. And anybody that's on there, she answered your questions, and she didn't stumble around. And what a young lady that lady is. And the other day you had Ted Strickland. My God, I admired old Ted. He answered questions just so if he was going to vote, he wouldn't have to go out on platform and say, vote for me. Of course, some people just go by the party, but you just vote for him because it seemed like he was a very fair talker. You know, you can almost tell by the way they talk, you know, that... But in when they get in a position, they're kind of forced and stuff. But he was good, too. I appreciate you having him on. He's done a great job.
You know, I've gotten to know former Governor Strickland pretty well. I've had him on quite a few times. And the thing I always tell people about him is, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or however you vote, what I can say about Governor Strickland after interviewing quite a few politicians, he always tells you what he thinks. I never feel like he's pulling back. I think he gives his opinion. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people do like it. But at least I admire him for giving it.
Can you take one more of my little tiny stories that I tell you about Ted Strickland?
Oh, go ahead.
He was out here at the Democratic Party a few years ago, and I knew some of the guys at the Democratic Party, and I think the mayor was out there also. I'm pretty sure. But anyhow, he was running late to when he was going to attend. I know Mary Ellen Withrow was inside, because I went inside and looked around. And I know you were there at that particular time, because you was giving a broadcast out there to the Democrats. You remember that out there?
I do. We interviewed Ted that day, I remember, and Mary Ellen.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was the particular day. And you know he was running late. And so I stayed outside, and I wanted to give him a little peep, you know, when he went by. And I had the caliber person, because I've talked to him once or twice before, and his wife also. His wife sat right beside us up there at, when Mary Ellen Withrow was up there. I don't forget what it was. but it was a thing for her, and it was very delightful. We're getting off the story, but here comes Ted, and everybody's all going to gather around. Boy, they're going to show. Oh man, we're going. And as soon as he got out, I said, "Hey, Mr. Strickland, if you got a moment," and he said, "I sure have. What can I do for you?" I said, "My wife's over here," and I said, "She can't get in and out with the wheelchair there." I said, "Could you come over and talk to her?" He said, "I sure will." And I said, hey, we're waiting on you in here." That he didn't pay no attention to none of them. He didn't care what title or what was wearing or none. He came right over and he talked to my wife, and I thought, was that ever a real good deal there? And Bailey, Sheriff Bailey, was there, and I seen him, and I talked to him before, and I said, "Hey, Sheriff, can you come over and talk to my wife, man?" So she had two celebrities, the Sheriff of Marion County and Ted Strickland, the once governor of Ohio. So I think he's a good man, and I like Bailey, too. He set it the way it was. I know there's a lot of difference, but when they're around a long time, they give a lot of people a target on them. They want to target them, you know, but that's okay. That's part of the game, And you're one of the guys that they like to target. But you know what, Scott? You really handle yourself smoothly. And I'll tell you what a reputation you got in my book is how you can handle things and get the point across and nobody's mad at you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So you're doing a good job. Bye.
Stay well. Bye-bye. And I appreciate that. You know, I really do appreciate the calls, good or bad. And we've had critical calls, there's no doubt about it. But that's the point. And I think, as the caller was saying there, and I think it's very true, that if you get into any kind of public life, whether it's broadcasting or politics, or you're just very well known in your community for doing something, you're going to have critics. You're gonna get criticized because not everybody likes you. It just is that way, and there's nothing you can do about it. So I've always thought, well, you know, would you? Oh, I do want to mention this, by the way. Last week, if I don't write it down, it goes right out of my head. But I'm glad a caller talked there about something that popped right back in my head. Remember the story I told you last week about the incident with the gentleman, the business owner here in town who had came up to me and called me a racist and wanted to punch my head in and all this for pointing out that the asparagus had not been rung up. I saw this gentleman yesterday, a week to the day that this happened, and this gentleman came up to me, and I thought, oh man, what's going to happen now? He came up to me and he said, "I just want to apologize for saying those things to you last week. I was having a bad day." And that's what he said. And I accepted his apology. I said, don't worry about it. It's forgotten. Water over the dam. Don't worry about it. And we went on and I said, have a great day. And everything was fine. So the bad does happen. But you do have to understand people have bad days. Now, should it have went that way? No. I mean, I don't think being called a racist or having threats against you, you know, that somebody's going to beat your head in, is a good thing. But he was a big enough guy, what do I want to say? Big enough guy internally, character. He didn't have to come up to me and apologize. He could have avoided me for the rest of his life. He came up and he apologized. Now, for whatever reason that happened, it doesn't really matter. The fact that he did it, I thought, was a very, very, very big person. So I wanted to make sure I told that story in case anybody knew who that was, although I don't think anybody does, because I never wanted to give the name, and I never wanted to implicate anybody in doing that. But I will say that all is forgiven, all is well, the penalty box is open, and, you know, that's a done deal. But see, that's what I'm talking about. When you're in the public, some people are going to say stuff to you sometimes that you don't like. Now, I did not like being called that. I did not like being threatened. But you know what? What I learned, it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the mood that person was in that day. Something else had happened, so they said, that caused that. And you know what? The fact that he came up, and nobody made him to do that, I appreciate. So I wanted to make sure that I said that and gave him the absolute credit for doing that. So there you go. That's a positive story. Nobody can say that's a negative story. All right. Let's see here. What else is going on in the world at this particular point? I think we're going to have a guest here momentarily, which will be good. Again, I do want to remind everybody of the upcoming programs here today. Glenn Coble will be on when I go off today from 10 a.m. till 12 noon. Swap Shop from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And then Adam, the computer guy, from 2:10 to 3 p.m. Always important to let people know what's coming up. And will be coming up very, very shortly here on this station. Now, as I say, tomorrow morning, I'll be on for five. All right, I believe here comes our guest, so we'll get into this, and we'll tell the other stories. Well, let's go quick with the fall. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
What a beautiful, sunshiny day, and I just wanted to call and tell you my experience at Marion General Hospital. That place was beautiful. I got one of the new rooms, and they're very nice. They're not, you know, overdone. They're very nice, very big. The help was wonderful. I was there 4 days. The help was wonderful. The doctors were fine. The place was clean, and the food was typical hospital food. But it was warm because they got new kinds of china. And so and you can eat about anything if it's hot. But I will have to say, I've heard people say they wouldn't take a dog over there. They were so nice to me, and I didn't give them no problem. My ticker was running a little fast, and so I had to go and get de-shortened down, I guess, or unshortened, whatever. But I will have to say, we should be very proud of our hospital and the people that works over there. Because if you go in with a good attitude, and they, like I said, they were excellent. So if anybody has a problem, and thank God they didn't load me up and haul me to Columbus.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and things are good now.
Things are, yeah, I'm of course I'm old, but so you can't make me young, but I'm doing fine. Well, but I tell you, we need to be very proud of our hospital. And when you hear people say that, say, well, when was the last time you were there, and what was your attitude when you went in? So anyway, have a good day, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's good to hear. I like hearing good stuff like that. You know, and that is the flip side. Of course, we have our problems just like any other town, but we also have those good moments, and we should talk about those more often. You can't dismiss the bad, but you also should concentrate on the good, and that's a great, great experience. You know what I have found in hospitals, to be honest with you? Is when you go in, you're probably not in the best mood because you're ill. And I think that's where a lot of opinion about hospitals come from, unfortunately. I think that people come in the hospital and they're ill and they don't want to be ill anymore. And when you go to the hospital, you're pretty sick. And, you know, they start drawing blood and putting equipment on you and running tests. And when you don't feel well, that's tough sometimes. And I think that gives you a very negative attitude. And I think that's where it comes from. And most people don't have stays in the hospital. I don't know what the percentage is of people who get to go home right away after an emergency room visit, but I guess it's pretty large. And a lot of people don't get their problems fixed right away. I mean, I know a lot of people who go to the emergency department for flu or a toothache or something like that, and you know, they're not... they can give you pain medicine, I guess, and but you have to go get it filled. So it's, you know, they can't fix your problem. But an emergency department is not supposed to fix your problem. They're supposed to make sure you're okay in an emergency and that you're not going to go on to your reward and then get you on to a doctor who can deal with your current ailment. And that's, you know, that's the way it goes. But I think that's why a lot of people have bad opinions about hospitals. And hospital food is hospital food. It's that way by and large because it's not a restaurant and they're trying to give you food that is healthy for your current condition. Although I will have to say, when George Turoff worked out there in the kitchen, the food was not bad at all. Not bad at all. Out at Marion General Hospital. So I certainly give George Turoff a lot of credit for keeping the food at Marion General Hospital good for a lot of years, which that's a very, very, very big positive. Let's see here. I'll have to tell the story about the atomic clock tomorrow because that's a very good story. And in regard to everything else, we'll have a lot of time on the toll-free tomorrow. Might have a couple special guests via telephone. I know that we will have Pastor Whitaker on the line, and I believe we have our guest on the line here this morning, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Always is on this program. He's one of our favorite guests. I believe the last time he was on was in April. He presided over one of the most successful syndicated television series in the history of syndicated television, certainly one of the most popular courtroom shows. He has done a lot with his life in the legal profession and beyond, and to get his opinions on a lot of things is always a great moment. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones again the legendary Judge Joe Brown. Judge, how are you?
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Judge, I want to start off this morning. Last time we spoke, it was before the George Floyd verdict. What did you make of the verdict?
Well, it was a reasonable one from the facts and evidence produced. Reasonable. Everybody looks at stuff that they get on the news media like that, and they think, wow, this is so unusual, but actually it's pretty common. It's most people don't pay any attention until it comes out into certain circumstances where people pay a lot of attention to it, but it's kind of a routine case. It's, we just did not 5 years, 10, 15, 20, definitely not 25 years ago, we didn't pay much attention to this because, one, you didn't have all the cell phone video. Two, it was not the thing with the mainstream news media to take stuff like that and make a big deal out of it. But they were going after Trump last year. It was part of the background atmosphere, so it got made a lot of, and it fit right in with the BLM thing. So it was what it was.
What do you think the sentencing will be because it was such a high-profile case?
Well, actually, high-profile or otherwise, it's supposed to be treated like it's a routine matter. And most states now have sentencing guidelines, checklists, that I know in Tennessee would be a couple of pages long and fine credit, and you'd have to go through that, and based on what you would get when you answered the questions that were required to be answered, that would give you an indication of what the sentence was going to be, or should be, that is for the judge. They just can't slap time on somebody. They have to justify what they're doing based on guidelines, for the most part.
Do you think that Officer Chauvin is in for a long prison stay?
I don't know. There's some appellate issues that might have traction. So much depends upon the personalities, temperaments, and background experiences of the various appellate judges.
how much impact does the judge have in a case like this?
Well, let's put it this way. I know there's one guy that I ran into a few years ago I represented back in the 1980s who was charged with first-degree murder. There were three other co-defendants. They wound up getting tried in this one judge's case, court, and they're on death row. This guy is walking around a free man because I aggravated the devil out of the judge in question, and he thought he was ranking me out by transferring the case to another judge's court that was going to present a great inconvenience. But that's what I wanted him to do. We got the transfer. The other judge was a fair man, and my guy walked around out on the streets, never did any more time in jail, and everybody else is on death row. It can make a heck of a difference.
Does it matter if it's a first offense, which it is, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. There was a big uproar about 25 years ago, 20 years ago here in Memphis. A cop from an outlying municipality, but in the county, Shelby County, had a chase of a young man, which was forbidden in Shelby County, and I suppose they have chases because it is endangering to the public and helicopters can do it better. But anyway, he cornered the kid in the gas station, smacked him in the back of the head. He had a Glock 17, and the pistol went off because his finger was on the trigger. Shot the kid in the back of the head, and some other cops arrested him on the spot. Went to trial. He got convicted of voluntary manslaughter, which was a 3-year sentence minimum. He was the first offender, obviously a cop, so the judge berated him, but reluctantly followed the law and put him on probation, made him pick up some of the funeral expenses for the family, but the judge said his hands were tied, and they were. That's what the law required.
When we look at this as a whole, do you think people see it as manslaughter or murder? He was guilty on all three counts.
What happens? He wasn't. See, let me explain something about Minnesota law. What they required was a finding of guilt as to each lesser included crime to build up to that. It's really clumsy. They, in most states, would have had findings of fact as to the elements. I don't think he could be convicted of three lesser included offenses, two lesser included offenses in the primary one. Now, what's going on is in most cases what Chauvin got convicted of would not be called murder. That is one of these things where legislative bodies trying to act like they're tough on crime change the definitions of things so that it looks like really hitting murder, third degree murder, or level three murder, whereas most places would call it voluntary manslaughter or criminally negligent homicide. It sounds better to the voters back home, and that's what some legislative bodies do. Over the last 30 years, a number of states started out with some pretty decent criminal laws that over the intervening 30 years have become garbage because they've become so complex, nobody, judge, jury, prosecution, defense lawyer, appellate courts knows what to do with them because some bozo from some outlying county decided to show he was going to be tough on crime and not everybody trying to be part of the bandwagon crew came up with some changes in the law to make it look tougher, and it becomes redundant, confusing, and self-contradictory within the system that they're trying to maintain. So something needs to be done, but that basically got a lot to do with the fact that there is an increasing level of ignorance on the part of legislative bodies, wherein people who know little about the law have little concept of what it's supposed to be doing. They try to appear tough, so they throw things in that become contradictory, confusing, or difficult to effectuate. So you get a mess.
Judge, when we look at the way things are going now, you talk about former President Trump. We learned this week that his foundation looks like it might be, is being criminally investigated in the state of New York. What did you make of that?
I think that's a very bad precedent, because the people that are after him have an agenda, which we don't need to get into. But when you do something in law and you set a precedent, it's a two-edged sword. They set a very bad one when they went after him for the second round of impeachment after he was no longer in office. Now, there's still that laptop in front of a federal grand jury that you can't call off. So that leaves, with that precedent, Obama and Biden liable for actions taken while they were in the Obama-Biden administration rather than the Biden-Imhoff administration. Also, there is this little matter of the Constitution saying that treaties are part of the supreme law of the land, and there is a binding ratified treaty with the Ukraine about each country assisting the other in the investigation of criminal activity and extradition. So you've got the problem with Biden being in office as president, and he is listed as an active defendant in multiple counts of a very serious felony indictment in the Ukraine, charging him, amongst other things, with bribery, extortion, subornation, or solicitation of treason. So it's interesting that in order for him to be, well, in office, there has to be an active disregard of a ratified treaty that under the Constitution is supposed to be part of the country's supreme law. Also, there is this thing, Article 1, Section 8, that says the armed forces commander-in-chief shall actively enforce the law of nations. And we also have several active treaties with Interpol and the Ukraine that deal with extradition. So there is that, and that could come back to bite somebody badly. However, I would always say that it is best in criminal law to deal with moderation. Also, it is a very bad thing use criminal law for political purposes. Very bad. In fact, so-called criminal rights that are in the Bill of Rights are not really criminal rights. They are rights that were promulgated, that is, cast into the country's fundamental law so that somebody could not use the criminal laws for purposes of political persecution rather than, well, under the guise of criminal prosecution.
Mm. You know, Judge, a lot of people look at presidential contenders and the presidents we've had in the last 8 years. We look at Biden, everything you just said in regard to President Biden, President Trump, under investigation now, and certainly has been for a good portion of his presidency. Hillary Clinton, we all remember the emails and the Benghazi and all this thing. Is it possible to run for president now and not be investigated or charged or thought to be charged with something, no matter what party you're in?
It's gotten pretty difficult. I think that's become part of the political landscape. So what effectively happens is whoever becomes chief executive is halfway down to getting his knees chopped off, well, his legs chopped off at the knees, because of this trend where we try to villainize the opposition. Something very dangerous is happening in American politics. It's almost like we were back 300-400 years to a time where there were all of these religious-based wars, the 100-year wars about the Catholic versus the Protestant Reformation situation, where we have a secular religion that has developed, so deviation from one set of standards becomes heresy or blasphemy and is to be attacked at all cost. I think it's actually a sham in a lot of instances, because the top level politicals in both parties have other agendas that the public is unaware of, and sometimes the confusion gets generated is used to cover up, blow smoke, create fog, so nobody pays attention to what else is going on behind the scenes.
What do you make, one of the big stories since last time we spoke was former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, who was considered a hero back in 2001 by a lot of people. They called him the mayor of America, and now FBI agents searched his home, took devices. And where do you think we're going with this and former Mayor Giuliani?
I don't like where we're going. I'm not exactly a supporter of his, but as a retired judge, I'd have to say this is not good. Again, it's back to this thing of absolute intemperance in politics, where we don't have bipartisan activity, because that would require deviation from the party line, from the tomes of the secular religion, and that's not to happen. That's a very bad thing. We have basically a tendency in America these days to attack heroes, unless the heroes are those people who are not really heroes. They're just people who entertain us. Oh, what a great hero. He shot a three-pointer with 4 seconds left in the game so that such and such team wins. That's not a hero. Somebody got killed because they were sitting on the toilet. They just happened to be in a hostile zone. They're not heroes. They used to be called sad sacks who were in the wrong place at the wrong time. We have those who don't like heroics because they don't have it in them to be heroes, so they resent badly those who do. So anytime you see someone cast as a hero, it's almost guaranteed that you will have these types that would turn around and run from something rather than doing what is necessary, who will attack the person who is in fact acting heroically, or actually, considering what Giuliani did 20 years ago after 9/11, it would be responsible and took care of business rather than grandstanding. We have a problem in America in that we try to get our chief executives to not only be chiefs of state, we want them to be heads of state. And the problem is that, you can see it in England, where the Queen, who is the symbol of government and actually is a monarch in England, is the embodiment of sovereignty, is different from the effective government, which is operated out of parliament. We try to confuse the two. And the president's job, the governor's job, the mayor's job is not to hold your hand it's to take care of administrative business. He's not supposed to go down and show support for the cameras by traveling to the location. He's supposed to be at his desk in conference with people who can do something about the situation people are concerned with and taking care of his job, not putting on a photo opportunity. That kind of came about as a bad side effect of the Reagan administration, the photo opportunity where the president is seen smiling and expressing concern for somebody and is on the scene shaking hands. Well, that doesn't do anything to correct the problems of the people. It makes them feel good. The issue is expressed in this book. I forget the author, but it's men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and the cliche is women don't want you to do something about it. They want you to understand how they feel. Men look at the situation and say, well, I want to do something about it, not just cry about it. The problem is that the whole country is somewhat emasculated, so the political prescription these days is to make everybody feel that you empathize with their condition and you too want to cry with them rather than doing your job and taking care of your business and getting some kind of solutions to the problem.
Judge, we were just having a conversation this morning here in Ohio. June 2nd, all of the state health orders are going to be lifted, and in the state, we're at about 42% vaccinated, and in the county that I live in, we're about 35% vaccinated. Health orders are coming up on June the 2nd. Here in Ohio, it's been national news. We're giving away $5 million, $1 million a week in a lotto to people who have been vaccinated. It's still not causing people to go get vaccinated, which is absolutely free here in Ohio right now. What do you make of that?
You've got about 12 or 16% of the American population, depending upon what area you're in, some areas even higher than that, to think the whole thing is a hoax. I would just say this. I took a course in my minor at UCLA, which was vertebrate paleontology, in something called the role of pathogens in extinction events and species evolution. While we have been la-di-da-ing around and only 42% getting vaccinated, we have not been building up herd immunity to a disease that has its origins mutating rapidly. And out there right now are some strains of SARS-CoV-2 that are going to take advantage of their increased virulence. And a lot of people are likely to get infected now that we release these strictures that we have had in place. I was on an airplane flying back from L.A., and there were a number of people who had the mask on adjusted below their chins like it was a chin strap on a helmet and were foolishly trying to complain that they were in compliance until the flight attendant told them they wanted to just have to get off the plane if they didn't cover their nose and mouth. And all through the flight, they had to go back and remind them to do that. They said they weren't worried. It was a hoax. But the point of the exercise is these masks are for the wearer's protection, true, but more so they're for the protection of others, and they're the equivalent of covering your mouth when you cough or sneeze. And some people just aren't polite because being mannerable is not the thing to be these days. Everybody's crude. Instead of using a person's last name and saying Mr. Johnson, you say, hey, Johnny. Even if Johnny is 86 years old, walking on a cane, and has had a distinguished life, some 16, 17-year-old working at a counter thinks it's all right to say, hey, Johnny. The president says, Martha, and she is Ms. Jackson, and she's 91 years old, and she just told the president she never thought she'd see a black man president in her life, and everybody's been calling her girl ever since she can remember, even when she got 65 years old, and it would have meant so much to her if the president had said Mrs. Jackson. That would have made her whole life worthwhile. But you see, we do that. I get calls, Joe, I said, who are you? I said, how old are you? 29. I said, well, I'm 50-some years older than you. I've got all kinds of degrees. You can call me mister. You can call me lawyer or attorney. You can call me doctor because I have one of those degrees, too. Or judge or your honor. You do not call me Joe because I don't know you. See, that's an effort to level everybody down to a common lowest denominator without acknowledgement that there is this thing called accomplishment. That's part of this very bad trend where everybody gets a participation ribbon. Nobody gets first, second, or third place because some fool's self-esteem may be diminished because he is so, she is so fragile and has not been taught that accomplishment is an important thing. It is a matter of child rearing wherein the children are taught that if they want it, they should have it. It's a Walt Disney-ish perspective on the world of when you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. That is not reality, and living on the planet Earth is a dangerous thing. Earthquakes, lightning strikes, tsunamis, riptides, hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, asteroids, drought, hail, poisonous entities and things and microbes and large-sized animals, great white sharks, tiger sharks, bull sharks, all kinds of things can kill you. It's dangerous being alive on the planet Earth. And it is not good to raise children to become adults who think they are entitled to something because they just want it rather than working hard for it. And that kind of attitude permeates itself into our whole political process and way of approaching things. We tend to fantasize about the billionaires controlling everything. There are fantasies of conspiracies to explain the things that we don't understand because we simply didn't pay enough attention in the fifth grade. And there are real conspiracies that get poo-pooed because that is the thing to do because of the excessive acceptance of conspiracies. And you can debunk a lot of nonsense by pointing out that it is a conspiracy, but you can also conceal and confuse the view of things that are conspiracies. So we have pretty much gotten deep into a 50-year span of glorification of dysfunction in our society, and it is not good for us, and we can certainly be replaced at the top of the heap. I think the People's Republic of China is doing a damn fine job of supplanting our position in the world environment. They are vigorous about requiring education. They don't charge anything for it except the student's own activity. The student is giving some harsh alternatives to going as far as he or she can in the educational and academic process. Meanwhile, there is an expectation of work from an individual, and their science, technology, and engineering is now rivaling our own. And I'm talking on an iPhone, and when I got its predecessor, I ordered it before they really hit the stands, and I got an upgrade on its progress, and I noted that it made two stops inside mainland China from the location where it was manufactured and designed in mainland China before it left across the Pacific to get to the West Coast before in Memphis, Tennessee. So things are not looking up. We have to get more vigorous, and contrary to the sense of entitlement, you only advance if you put in hard work. Now, there are trust fund kids who are brats, yes. There are trust fund kids who could be brats but try not to be and be constructive. And then there are the people that made their money and their place by all hard effort. Unfortunately, only somewhere around 18% of the American public who are millionaires made their millions and didn't just inherit it. But that 18%, they work their behinds off, and a 40-hour week is a light week. But we think we're supposed to get everything because we are entitled to it, so we have all sorts of unrealistic fantasies that we demand come true in reality. The excuse we give ourselves is somebody's trying to oppress us, somebody is conspiring against us, somebody has some scheme that ought to be stopped because it might result in some poor bug being stepped on, or it might thwart us in getting what we feel entitled to and what ought to be handed to us rather than worked for with open opportunity to acquire. And that extends across all racial lines, all ethnic lines. And one very, very bad trend is to start protecting people's feelings, because everybody is entitled to feel safe. You should not feel safe, because if you do, you have got blinders on and you don't see this dangerous world that surrounds you. Nobody needs to make you feel safe. You need to make yourself safe with your own efforts, unless you are a child, or in my perspective, since I'm a man, a woman. I look at my job as a man is protecting womanhood and promoting manhood. In other words, I protect the women, the young girls, the older girls, and I promote manhood by attempting to train up the boys so they can be men to take the place of the men who are already here. Some people find that an unpopular position or an undesirable circumstance because they want to be protected like their children for the entirety of their lives. That's not good for the Republic.
Judge Joe Brown, never enough time, always interesting. Thank you, Judge, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Judge Joe Brown, one of the big hits in network syndication. Whether you agree or disagree with what he says, in my neighborhood, he was called a hit for nearly 20 years. All right, done for the day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
USKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Adam Media and Adam the Computer Guy are a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, offering remote and on-site technical support, network setup, and computer troubleshooting for homes and businesses. Website pctech.biz or adamthecomputerguy.com. Telephone number 740-531-2326. Also available mobile notary services in Central and Mid-Ohio.
Hi, gang, this is Gallagher, and you know you're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM in Marion, Ohio. We can also be found streaming live at you on the internet at WWGH171.com. But there's nothing calm about here.
It's now time for the obituary report on WWGH Radio.
Ruby Josephine Linger, age 93, of Marion, passed away at her home on Monday.